the Word of God, to come together, to unite our hearts through fasting and prayer. We bless you, O God. We thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. We thank you for your peace that garrisons our hearts and our minds. Thank you for your benefits that leads us into abundance and the wherewithal to be sustained in life. We thank you for your help, because we can't make it by ourselves. And Father, we pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that as we prepare our hearts to target our faith, to release our confidence in you, that we will have ears to hear and hearts to receive. For we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to begin tonight again by encouraging you to take pen, take paper. Glory to God. And our emphasis for tonight is seeking the Lord, seeking God, praying and asking of God for a right way for our little ones. A right way for our little ones. I failed to mention last week before I ended, intended to, and if you still have your notes and you want agreement in prayer concerning the things that relates to yourself, I am willing and ready to stand with you in agreement. If you want to just share your notes or part of those notes, the list of things that you've got before the Lord. And the Bible says, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything that ye shall ask, touching the thing. If I don't touch the person, I want to make sure that we touch the thing that we're asking for. The Bible says it shall be done of the Father. Glory to God. And even tonight, I want you to take a moment as I do the introduction to the teaching for tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you to lay your little ones before the Lord. Now, that subject of little ones, broad subject. And most of the time, we think just about our children. And we should think about children. But little ones is unlike the word son and the word daughter. The term little one is one that you find when the children of Israel were on their way out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, going through the passing through the sea, dealing with the threat of a coming army. Army from Pharaoh, from Egypt. The little ones were the ones, would be the ones that were, could be considered vulnerable. The ones who don't have the experience to make the adult-like decisions. Don't have the experience to know how to do, and don't have the wherewithal to provide for themselves, little ones. We should ask God for a right way for us, but we should also ask him for a right way for our little ones. The ones who don't know the way, the ones who have not become acquainted with God, the ones who may not be on track. But I've learned that little ones don't just include our children, the ones who are born of our house, in our house. Sometimes the little ones include, and many times, especially for those of us who have lived long enough to become grandparents, little ones include grandchildren. Sometimes it's not your grandchild, sometimes it's your niece, it's your nephew. It's someone that you see can't do it by themselves. Amen. And I want to just encourage you to lay them before the Lord. There's someone that's considered a little one that could be one that you could best describe them as feeble ones among us. This one doesn't have strength. This one doesn't have the wherewithal. This one doesn't have the economic thing. And I was listening the other day, someone was saying, I can't be at such and such a meeting because I have to get home because my spouse is going to work and I have a special needs child at home. Little ones. They come in sizes, all sizes and shapes, but they're still the little ones. Sometimes it's a little one like mom or dad who's now gotten older and their mind is not as sharp. They don't think the way they need to think. They don't get to the restroom like they need to get to the restroom. Things began to turn and you began to see how relevant that terminology is or that phrase is when people would say, once a man, twice a child. Because we don't just get younger, we get older. Amen. And so I want to just encourage you tonight. Let's lay our little ones before the Lord. And I would love to stand with you in agreement concerning the little one that's in your house, in your family, within your reach. Amen. I didn't know that there were so many sick children until I started going to the hospital, seeing about one of our grandchildren. There are children who are ill, who are sick, and there is an overwhelming need for divine direction. Amen, somebody. I want to direct your attention for just a few minutes. I promise it will not be long in this vein, but I do want us to pray. I want us to stand in agreement. Amen. There's a man in the Word of God whose name was Job. The first chapter of Job. I can think of many people in Scripture that prayer was made in some kind of way that relates to children. But the one that I want to talk about tonight is really Job. The disciples did not want all the little children to be showing up, getting in the way of Jesus. But Jesus says, suffer, allow the little children to come to me. And then he says, and forbid them not. Not only allow them, but don't push them back. Don't forbid them. Allow them to come to me. My mind goes to another occasion where there was a prophet of God. He had spoken into this woman's life. And after speaking into her life, that woman, he says, about this time next year, And she had a child, but that child got sick. The child was out in the field, and they said the child had a heat stroke. I don't really know what the child had, but the child got sick, and the father says, take the child back home to mama. And they took the child to the mother, and while the child was at home with mother, the child died. And so the woman of God took the child into the chamber, the room that they had made for the prophet, and laid the child on the bed and went to the man of God. And when she got to the man of God says, you know, is this some holiday? Is this some celebration? Is this the new moon? Is this the Sabbath? What's the deal here? And she says to the man of God, you prayed for me, and God granted me a child, but now something's happened to my child. And so they went back to the house where she lived and where she left her child. And the Bible tells us that the man of God went into the bed room that he had been sleeping in and laid upon the child and asked the God of heaven, let life come back into this child. And when the man of God had laid on the child and prayed, the Bible said life came back into that child. I'm here to say tonight that we can pray and believe God for life to come back into the child. God can restore. God can put it back. God can undo anything that the enemy has done. God can undo any calamity, any trouble, any struggle. God can reverse it. Amen, church. And so there are many occasions where children were being prayed for. You remember the story about David, who had a child, and the circumstances were not the kind of circumstances that were favorable, righteous, or best. But you know, the thing that is good about it, it leaves on record for all of us that even if the child was conceived under circumstances that does not agree with God's standard, that doesn't mean that God closes the door on the prayers that can be made for their child. Hallelujah. The child was sick, and glory to God, the man of God prayed and laid, the Bible says, before the Lord. He prayed for days and fasted for days for that child. And I want to just say, the man of God who was after and in pursuit of the heart of God shows us a pattern of how we can call upon God for our little ones. He prayed. He laid all night before the Lord. And you know, I think that many of us need to just begin to revisit. We are testifying of how much power, how much ability, how much glory, how much Holy Ghost, how much all the kind of things, how much word knowledge we got. But many of us really do not have the testimony that I have laid all night before God for my child. I believe that God is giving us a word tonight to remind us that we need to step it up. Amen, somebody. We need to step it up. Amen. If David could do what he did, amen, and he did it, he called upon God, it was probably 7 days or something like that, and at the end of those days, the people were whispering. They didn't want to tell him that the child didn't make it. And when David saw them whispering, he looked and said, you know, what's going on? And they told him what had happened. And they thought that David was going to have a fit. But David, the Bible says, he got up and David washed himself and went into the house of God. I'm here to say that, glory to God, that we also not only need to be able to pray and be willing to put all that we've got into it, but we also need to have the gravity of faith and the gravity of rest in God to just know that what God does will be good no matter what it is. Amen. What God does will be good no matter what it is. Amen. And the man of God shows us, and then you know the rest of the story. Though that child went to be with the Lord, he said, you know, he won't come to me. I'll get to go to him. And though that happened with that child, to God be the glory, God gave this man of God another opportunity, and that next child was Solomon. And Solomon was a child, glory to God, that even when he finally got to the throne, he says, I'm still a child and I don't know how to go in and out, but Lord, if you just give me wisdom and give me understanding. And God said, because you didn't ask for wealth and riches and all the other stuff that make you somebody and make you important, you just asked for wisdom so you can go in and out before my people. God said, I'm going to give you everything you asked for, plus I'm going to put some add-ons in there. Hallelujah. And God did that for him. So praying for children and praying for our little ones and asking of God a right way for them is something that is a privilege for us. Let's look at Job's life for just a few moments here. Are we together? In Job chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. And upright. He was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So this man was somebody who understood that I need to lead a life where my life is saying to God, show me the right way. My life is saying, Lord, show me the right way. Well, at the beginning of this chapter, in the second verse, you'll see something here that most of the time all but gets ignored. The beginning of this man's story was his own life and the existence of his children. He had sons, 7. He had daughters, 3. They were all born to him. And this man not only had little ones, this man had substance. The third verse says his substance was 7,000 sheep. And next week, by the grace of God, we're going to be asking the Lord to and praying and saying, Lord, show us the right way for our substance. This man had great substance, 7,000 sheep. Now, that's a lot. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 yoke of oxen. Now, everything that I know about a yoke is made for at least 2. At least 2. So if he had 500 yoke of oxen, that means he had at least 1,000 oxen. At least that many. And 500 she asses. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest man of all the men of the East. Now, we don't have to try to figure out where the East is to be the greatest man anywhere. It's pretty good. But this great man was a man that sought God. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their sisters to eat and drink with them. Seven sons, Monday party, Tuesday party. Glory to God. Wednesday party, Thursday party, 7 days in a week. And there was one son. He said, okay, it's my day. And the next one is my day. Feasting in their house and invited the sisters to come. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent. Oh, Lord, I don't have time to deal with that. Let's just keep on going. And Job sent and sanctified them and got up early in the morning. He sent and sanctified them and got up early in the morning and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all, 10 offerings to God. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and have cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job what? Continually. Not continuously, continually. That did not mean that Job was praying nonstop. He was offering nonstop, but regularly, consistently, Job was offering prayers and offering sacrifices to God for his children. So Job kept his children before the Lord. Job kept his children before the Lord. What did he do? He kept his children before the Lord. And I believe that every person who wants to be a person that God could even consider a perfect person, an upright person, that eschew evil, that honors and fears God. That person is someone that has as a matter of their personal practice that they keep their little ones before God. But if you look in the next verse, the sixth verse, you'll see that Job had something worth fighting for. Job had something worth the enemy contending for. And I'm not just talking about any enemy. I'm talking about Satan. The Bible says, and now there was a day when the sons of God, the angel, the angelic host, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. He came too. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He said, have you considered him? And I want you to understand that when you can get God to testify for you, you really got a testimony. When you can get God to say what you are, now we can all say what we are, but I tell you, God's testimony really has credibility. Amen. And here we see the next verse, verse 9. The Job was not only all of these things that God had said about him. He was not only a man that there was none like him in the earth. Now, God is the one that knew that. Now, we saw he was the greatest man in the east, but God says, I'm acquainted with everybody on the whole globe, the earth. God says, nobody like him on the earth. None like him. God says, perfect man. God says, upright man. God said, he fears God. God says, he eschews evil. He stays away from it. He distances himself. He was a man that was blessed of God, and he had a hedge around him. He had a hedge around him. In verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord. He answered the Lord and said, yeah, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Satan was aware that not only was Job a blessed man, he was an untouchable blessed man. He was an unreachable blessed man. He could not be gotten to by Satan or by Satan's intent or by Satan's desires. Glory to God. He was a blessed man. He was what kind of man? He was a blessed man. He had a hedge about him. And God and the devil knew he had a hedge. The devil knew he had a hedge. The devil, Satan knew he had a hedge about him. And not only was the hedge about him, inside the hedge was his house. Inside the hedge was everything he had. The hedge wasn't just a hedge around him. It wasn't just a circle here. It was a circle that had a far reach around his house. Now, how big was his house? You got to understand his house reached so far that his house encompass more than one building. His house, it was so large, his house was so large that in his house was a full house of servants. There were many servants. His house was so large that he had servants that were out. Can you imagine the number of people that you'd have to have that could and be responsible for that many yoke of oxen, that many, hallelujah, that many sheep, that many cattle? Who, you gotta have a real team of people. Amen. And he says that not only was this thing a big hedge, but it was one that had no gaps. Oh, hallelujah. He had it on every side. I said he had it on every side. He had it on every side. Oh, I think sometimes believers ought to just be able to just be about saying, Lord, I thank you that I've got it on every side. Lord, I thank you that I've got it on every side. Lord, I thank you that I don't just have protection in my front, I got protection in my back. I thank you, Lord, that I got protection on my left and on my right. I thank you, Lord, that I've got protection in every gap in between. Not only do I have protection, but everything I've got has protection. Hallelujah. Thank you for the hedge. I'm hedged in. I'm hedged about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. On every side. Amen. Satan understood this. And he says, and you blessed the work of his hand. Everything he does, you blessed it. He didn't fail. He doesn't fail. You bless what he does. You bless what he does. Hallelujah. That's something that, you know, if this Old Testament saint who did not have the new birth could experience God blessing the work of his hand, how much more should us under this new covenant, under this new testament, who have a blood-bought right to the inheritance that God has for the saints, how much more should we be able to declare that God blesses the works of my hands? Not only am I protected, but everything that I do, God has his blessings on it. God blesses me. I am blessed. What I do, blessed. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hallelujah. 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 And his substance, he's not just, you know, going from month to month. Huh? He's not just got ends meeting. His substance increasing in the land. Now, who's saying all this? God's not saying this. Satan's saying this because he's watching this. I want to tell you something. That time he wasn't lying. Now he's a liar and the father of it, but that time he wasn't lying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, look at the 11th verse. He said, put forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He's talking to God. He understood that only God could make Job vulnerable. Satan had no power to take the hedge off, and he couldn't injure him. Only God could remove part of the hedge. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, look, all that he had is in thy power. Because he gave the Lord a challenge. And because God knew Job, he knew that Job would be able to manage the challenge. And I want to tell you something, glory to God. The next time you go through a trial, glory to God, don't look up and say, God, why are you doing this to me? No, the next time you go through a challenge of your life, understand and say with faith and confidence, if God allows it, he's proving me. He's already testified about me. He's already let the enemy of my life know that I am committed, and I will never curse him, and certainly will not curse him to his face. Hallelujah. 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 And so the Lord wouldn't touch him because the Lord's hand was only to bless him, because he was a perfect man. He was an upright man. He eschewed evil. He feared God. So there was nothing about Job that God saw that he needed to administer correction. That he had to do something and deal with Job being off track. None of that applied. Glory to God. But God takes everything and uses it for his own glory. And he was willing to do that with this matter. Can you say amen? Amen. And so he says, you can touch. The Lord allowed him. The next few verses, you see the family under attack. On this day of celebration, the 13th verse, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. They had started over. They had started over. Eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. It was a day of celebration. But it began with celebration but it ended under attack. Amen. You know the story. Verse 14, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding in beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away, the plowing oxen and the asses. And we've already read how many had took them away, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. They not only took their stuff, took the cattle, took the oxen, took the asses, and then he says that they killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And he says, I am the only one, I'm alone, I escaped to tell you. So this man of God at one time, on this one day, lost his source of income. The income that he was able to generate, these enemies took it. But it wasn't because God had cursed him, but because God had taken a challenge. The next verse. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep. We've already read how many sheep he had. Burn all of them up, and the servants, and consume them. Can you imagine if fire fell from heaven and caught ablaze the wool that was on a sheep, and you've got these men out there, and you got that many thousands of them? They probably could have easily been trampled. It was probably a really terrible sight. But here is the thing that I want to just emphasize. This was a loss because of a natural calamity. A lightning strike, maybe. But it was a natural calamity. What kind of calamity? A natural calamity. The first one was the loss because of enemies, the loss of income because of enemies. Look at the next one, verse 17, and you see they lost their transportation. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said that Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and they have slain those servants with the edge of the sword. And he says, and only one of us survived, and I'm the one. Can you imagine how terrible it was to have that kind of a loss and only three survived? Well, the story doesn't end there. While he was yet speaking, verse 18, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they, the young men, are dead. I would like to just notice that he doesn't say that the daughters were taken. Fell upon the young men and they are dead, and I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. Verse 20. Now this man had done all the right things in praying for his children. But look at this. I want to say this before we pray. No matter what goes wrong in your life, never, ever allow the enemy to make you choose the wrong response. My response must be right. Say that with me. My response must be right. Come on, say it again. My response must be right. Then Job arose and did what? Rent his mantle after hearing these three or four stories of severe loss, he got up, he tore his clothes, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and what? And worship. Hallelujah. Oh, I know that as challenging as it can be, it's easy to fall on the ground and just cry. It's easy to just fall on the ground and feel sorry for ourselves and have a real party, a legitimate pity party. But this man understood how his relationship with God worked. It worked by understanding the nature of God and understanding the character of God. And when he got up, he fell on his face and he worshiped. This is how he worshiped. He worshiped saying, the next verse, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. This is how he worshiped. The Lord gave. This is how he worshiped. The Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Someone says, well, you know, this, he was wrong there. God didn't take it away. I'm here to tell you that when you understand that your life is only in the hand of your God, you don't even want to give the devil credit for stuff that the devil does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you know the devil couldn't even touch him until God says, I'll let you in the hedge. Shabbat. Glory to God. Unless I let you get behind the hedge, you can't touch him. But God wanted to prove that there is an eternal thing working in this man that no matter what, he's not going to curse me. He's not going to curse me. When you read on the story, he cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed the God that gave him life. The Lord has taken away. And look at the last phrase he says, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, he sinned not. Because see, this is really what God was trying to show. This man has, he is a great man, but he's not just great materially. He's great in character. He's great in his inner man. And we ought to be saying to the Lord, Lord, help me to be great. Lord, help me to be great. Help me to be great. Help me to be so great that no matter what goes wrong, no matter what happens, glory to God, I can fall on my face. Even if I have tears in my eyes, I can fall on my face and say, the Lord gives, the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 I worship you, Almighty God, for there is none like you. I praise you, God, for your goodness. I glorify you for your mercy. I thank you for your help, because no matter what has taken place, no matter what the enemy has done, no matter what Satan got permission to do in my life, I just say thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I glorify you. Thou art great, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Glory to God. If the child gets in an accident and you're on your way down to the hospital to see about your child, glory to God, fall on your face and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Drive behind that wheel saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why not? Because if there is any ability to recover from disaster, it needs to have the hand of God in it. It must have the hand of God in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not charge God foolishness in all this. He didn't charge God foolishly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift your hands, lift your hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. If you've got a little list that you've jotted down, little ones, I want you to hold that up before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. If you just typed them in your phone, it's all right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word of God that we've heard today, tonight, that have solidified our faith and our confidence. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We understand that sometimes our children sin. They get off track. They do wrong. But God, we offer to you the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. The fruit of our lips. Yes, Lord. Job had to offer the sacrifices of these things, these burnt offerings. But Lord, I thank you, hallelujah, that you said you are not looking for burnt offerings. You're looking for the calves, the burnt offering of our lips, giving glory to God. And we come to bless you. We come to praise you. We give you the glory. This is how we fight our battles. Hallelujah. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. We bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify you. And Father, we pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus as we lift up our little ones. Some are not so little, but they're still vulnerable. And Father, we just pray for them right now. We pray for them right now. We lift them up before you and we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Your will be done to save. Your will be done to make whole. Your will be done to undo what the devil has done. Your will be done to protect them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray for those, oh God, who are ill, who are sick, who have an infirmity in their body. And we say, Father, we thank you right now that we do believe that you're the healer. You're their healer. You're our healer. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We put the blood upon the doorposts of our houses and upon the things, oh God, where they go in and out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Spiritually, hallelujah. In the realm of the spirit, we put the blood. We put the blood. And we say, cover them, oh God. Cover them. Cover them. Cover them. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, over their children, their children, their children's children, our children's children. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray for salvation to come to every house. We pray for deliverance to come to every house. In the name of Jesus, undo what the devil has done and help us to be an example of your righteousness, your purity, your holiness in the name of the Lord Jesus so that we can see good come to our houses, good come to our families. Yes, Lord, so that we will walk in and live in the protection that you have for us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The little ones that are still in school, we pray protection over their minds, that they will just do well and be strong and be sharp and intelligent and smart. Yes, Lord, grasping the things that they need to grasp. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we lift them up before you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now, we pray right now, for in particular for the little ones that are in this service tonight. Hallelujah. These young boys, we lift them up before you. These young boys and this girl, we lift them up before you and we cover them. 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 We cover them in prayer. Yes, Lord. I lay my hands on them in faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless him indeed. 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 Bless them indeed. Bless them indeed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless indeed. Yes, Lord. As she sleeps in your presence, bless her indeed. Bless her indeed. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. The healer touches her now. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to walk out of this place with confidence that God hears you about your children, that God hears you and helps you with your families. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 The Lord just bringing something to my mind. Job prayed. He said, just in case they have done this. Just in case. Glory to God. Just in case they are dabbling in drugs. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for their deliverance. Just in case. Yes, Lord. I don't know what they're doing. They don't live with me anymore. I don't see them all the time. Just in case the enemy is trying to draw them into something. Father, I just lift up this praise before you for their deliverance, for their victory. Turn it off. Turn it away. In the name of the Lord Jesus, fix it. Yes, Lord. Just in case. Just in case there's an enemy lurking in the distance and even trying to get up close and personal and draw them into ill and draw them into wrong. Just in case. Yes. Let your hand be for good there. In the name of Jesus. And we bless you and we praise you and we thank you that it is good. That is good. And help is here. And victory is here. And deliverance is here. For we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Can we bless the Lord? Can we thank the Lord? Hallelujah. Grandchildren getting out of trouble. Grandsons getting back on the right track. Thank you, Lord. 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 Your prayers can reach where your hands can't touch. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. How many of you know that?